Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today. We are in the middle of a series, or actually at the end of a series, that is simply called The Message of the Manger. And I want you to do me a favor and turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And y'all are sitting there thinking, Pastor, we talked about this verse 2 weeks in a row. You ain't done with it yet? No, pardon my English, but I ain't done with it yet. There is truth within this verse we haven't even scratched the surface on. And I promise you, you're going to walk out of here with a little bit better knowledge of who was laying in the manger. A little bit better idea of who He really was and what He really came for. See, Christmas Day is only 8 days away. How many of you already got all your shopping done? All right, some of y'all are way ahead. How many of you ain't even started yet? All right, you better keep your hand down. But if you listen, the memories that we have over the years always seem to flood back in our minds this time of year. Memories both good and bad. There may be some good things that happen, maybe some bad things. Maybe getting snacks brought into school. I remember that when I was in elementary school. Snacks brought into school. I loved it because it meant I got to eat. And I got to snack on all those sweets, and we get to play games, and we didn't have to do work. Maybe you think about taking around to different family events and stuffing your faces because you're going to mom and dad's place or aunt and uncle's place, cousin's place, and you're eating at every single place, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, if I eat one more thing, I'm going to pop. Anybody ever been there? I loved going to my grandmother's house. My grandmother, I had some cooks. In my family that were just amazing. I'd go to my grandmother's house. My Aunt Sylvia would be there. My papa, my granny would be there, and we would have a blast. And my cousins would all be running around. And my granny always gave us. It was really weird. We thought it was the weirdest thing, but she loved doing it. Every year for Christmas, she would give us a $2 bill. Anybody remember those? I've still got a stack of them at my house because I ain't getting rid of them. There's memories behind that. Maybe you remember that kind of stuff. Maybe you remember all the adults falling asleep after the party, and all the kids are sitting around, we got to open presents, and screaming and hollering. Maybe spending time helping someone less fortunate or going to a service on a Christmas Eve. Whatever your memories, the excitement builds up until that Christmas morning when the kids end up waking you up at 4 a.m. Can we open presents? It's Christmas! Santa came! Some of you went to bed an hour early because you didn't wrap anything until the night of, or tried to put that basketball goal together. God help me, I did that. But you tried to put it together at 12 midnight on Christmas Eve, and it took half the night because nothing was fitting right, and you were so tired, and all that, and you've got all these memories. I love what it says at the end of our text, though, where it says, He has been born today. All right, I haven't even read the text yet, so I just realized that. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Let's pray. Father God, let your Spirit guide every word that is said and everything that is done today. Lord, let us celebrate your name today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I love where it says, He has been born today. It was a real day in history that Jesus Christ was born. It was a real day. It's not just some arbitrary day that we throw out there and we get to give gifts to everybody. It was a real day where we honor and we celebrate together because of that day, what was brought to us. I find myself asking, anybody y'all ever ask the question, why does it end up on December 25th? Because we do realize that Jesus Christ was not actually born on December 25th. That is not the actual date of His birth. But we think, there's been some very interesting things. If you got time, come and ask me about it later. I don't want to take time to go through it in here, but there's a reason why that people chose December 25th so many years ago. The actual time of year is not mentioned in the Bible, though. The real date of Christ's birth, according to scholars, was most likely somewhere between April 1st and September 30th. Now, that's a wide range. But that's the actual date of his birth, April 1st to September 30th. There in the early church, they would celebrate that. Multiple reasons that I came across have no bearing on our Christianity at all, but just some cool information. One of the things that I read was that the early church believed that Jesus died on the cross on the same day that he was born. So that's the reason why they celebrate it the way that they did back in the early church. It happened, but the thing is, it happened. It was a real day. It happened in a real city, Bethlehem, the city of David. You can dig through historical records and find the exact location. You can find out who was ruling at the time, of Roman rule, of Caesar Augustus. He was ruling at the time. We can study the economic climate and the social tendencies and the customs of that time. Remember, over the next 8 days, that this is more than just a story we tell our children. It is history. It is an actual event. And our series has been told from a historical account. The message of the manger is one that is not a fictional rendering, but one based on the account of Scripture of both Old Testament and New Testament coming together and foretelling of a child born on a real date in the midst of a real city, with a real purpose that would change the world forever. 2 weeks ago, we learned how the manger matters and how it's a symbol of his humility and his purpose, how he left the comfort of heaven so that he could be humbled and come down and be as we are, so that he could spend time with us. We saw how he was laid in a manger, and it was a symbol of how he is the bread of life, and we cannot be sustained without him. We cannot have sustenance without him. The manger is a sign to everyone that we all have access. No one is ever excluded from the manger. Those are some things that we learned the first week. The manger is not only a starting point, not just a starting point, was only a starting point. Okay, let me slow down. The manger was just a starting point for where God was going to take him. I've got to slow down a little bit. I've got so much in my brain, it's all trying to spill out at the same time. Anybody ever do that? But I want you to take a close look today. See, last week, the manger showed us about the Father, how he's faithful to fulfill his promises. The manger showed us how the child that was laid in the manger is the very presence of God, how he is Emmanuel, God with us. And the child that was laid in that manger was proof of God's everlasting, all-consuming love because of what it cost him. He loves us, church. And he proved it by sending his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Today I'm tying a bow on the gift that is Jesus with three simple words, three simple names, three titles that are spoken over him or ascribed to Jesus in this passage of Scripture. The way I look at it, when you hear somebody's full name, that's usually not a good sign. Yesterday we had Bree, DJ's girlfriend, over to the house. She's here quite frequently. She's sick today, so keep her in prayer. But all of a sudden, she called him by his full name. She didn't call him DJ. And I heard somebody say, uh-oh. She called him David Joel. And if it had been me or Amy, we would have put Argo on the end of it. We've done that plenty of times. When you hear all three names, you're in trouble, usually. Or it says something about you. There's something meaningful behind those names. I was talking with Steve the other day, and we were talking about DJ's name, and he said, well, where did DJ come from? I said, well, Steve, listen, what happens when a boy loves a girl? No, I'm going to leave that alone. But I've had too much coffee this morning, y'all. But he asked where his name came from, and I said, well, David is just a name that Amy and I really loved. And we love the character David in the Bible, and we had some other things that we talked about. And I said, Joel is named, he is named after Amy's dad, Joel, who is probably watching online sometime today, just to carry on his name. So he has meaning behind those names. And of course, Argo is the surname that carries on my legacy and carries on my family name. And each one of those names have meaning. You always know that they have meaning. When the angel declared the birth of Christ, he spoke three titles, three names over Jesus. And we read by it a lot of times and we just skim over it. It says in verse 11 where it says, the Savior. There's one. Yes, the Messiah. That's two. The Lord. That's three. You see, we skim over that. We clump them all together and we push them all together. Sort of like we take three pieces of paper, put them together, smush them up, and then we throw it away or whatever. We always pull all that together. And the thing is, he says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. As if he was using the full name of this child to tell the world, y'all better pay attention. Because something significant is happening. Because when the angel said Savior, he said a lot. When he said that word Savior, all of a sudden, things changed. There was a meaning behind that word, or that title, that name meant something to the Israelite people. These shepherds knew the stories of their ancestors. They knew the stories about how they had been oppressed. All of those that had risen up and led Israel in times of need and in times of oppression. Moses was drawn out of the water. He was a savior to his people. He was drawn out of the water. He was raised in an Egyptian house, and yet he became a deliverer, a savior to his people. And these shepherds knew that story. They had it quoted to them ever since they were a child. They knew the story of Samson, who God raised up at a time when people needed to be freed from their oppressors, who had strength like none other that had come before him. He became a savior to his people. And set them free. Esther. I couldn't go without putting at least one woman in here, because God uses women to save folks. Come on. God can use a woman to make a difference in someone's life. But Esther, God used to deliver his people from a certain death simply because she was willing to obey and invited a king to a dinner party. When the angel gave this unknown, unseen child the title Savior, they knew that there was something special. There was something happening that had not happened in centuries. Because you got to think, the prophets were silent for 400 years. When he said Savior, when that angel said Savior, there's a page that we forget about in the Bible. If you look through the Bible, there's a page right between the very last book of the Old Testament and the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew. There's a page right there. It doesn't have anything significant written on it. It doesn't have anything great and mighty. It doesn't have the names of anybody on it or anything. It just says the New Testament. It is a single page that separates the Old Covenant from the New Covenant. When he said that name, I've heard pastors say that there's no one ever preaches on that page, yet it's probably one of the most significant pages in the Word of God. That page that separates the Old Testament from the New Testament has meaning to it. The shepherds had lived in a spiritual silence for approximately 400 years. 400 years of struggle. 400 years of strife. 400 years of silence, of off again, on again slavery. of oppression and from the nations around him. But at the word Savior, there was a sound of God licking his thumb and getting ready to turn the page into another covenant, to turn the page into a new story, to turn the page into another time. He said, wait, when there was a rustling of the pages in the spirit, and all of a sudden, when he said Savior, those shepherds said, wait a minute, we haven't heard that word in a long time. We haven't heard that hope in a long time. That word Savior meant something to them. The definition of that word is to make safe, or to deliver, or to make alive. Let me say that one more time. To make safe, to deliver, or to make alive. There's another word in the Hebrew, Hechiah, is what it says. And pardon me if I just spit everywhere, but Hechiah. Hechiah actually means to cause to escape. This is the word that was spoken over Jesus Christ as he was in that manger. To cause to escape. And then also two words, to hope. To hope. When he said Savior, the shepherds heard the word hope for the first time in 400 years from the spiritual. Come on, are you with me today? Is anybody else excited? God was giving them hope in a manger. The angel was addressing the immediate need of their life. Can I tell you something? God is still addressing our immediate needs today. He is still addressing our immediate needs with the Savior born in a manger. The need for all mankind is for someone to set us free. And that need was addressed by the Savior. Matthew 1:21 says, And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The very name Jesus means the Lord saves. It doesn't matter how good your life is. Doesn't matter how good of a life we think we have lived. There is not one person who has ever drawn breath on this earth, save the one named Jesus, that has not been in the need of a Savior. I don't care how good of a person you are. I don't care how many homeless you feed. I don't care how many people you pray with. I don't care how many people you pray for. Every one of us needs a Savior in our life. We don't need a Savior. We need the Savior that was born 2,000 years ago in a manger. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. 2,000 years ago, there was a Savior born and placed in a manger. He was born to bring freedom and to fulfill the promise of a Savior given long ago. The angel declared that title over this special child, and chains began to rattle as soon as the word Savior was uttered. The chains that had held the Israelites captive and oppressed them for so long in the spiritual realm began to shake when all of a sudden he said, a Savior is born. Years later, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, made that same declaration and placed that same title on him in John 1:29, where it says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the Savior that was born. But the angel didn't stop there. He said the name Savior so that we could be free. But he also said, he declared something else in that time. You see, I declare that same title to you. Time has not weakened his name, his power, or his purpose. The Savior has been born. But he moved on and he said, when he said, the Lord is born, there was something else that he was saying. Everybody say Lord. Everybody say Savior. Everybody say Lord. What he was saying was the line of succession is being fulfilled. Again, the title of Lord denoted authority and power. When you hear the word Lord, I love watching like historical pieces and historical movies and things. And the thing is, you hear the title Lord come across somebody and you automatically think, oh, they're someone of importance. They have authority, they have power, they have strength in them. Like Lord Bradbury or Lord Gertrude or whatever his name is. I don't know what it's. Lord Charles or whatever. Lord Winston. Denotes authority and power. And you automatically think of that. And when that angel said Lord, it automatically said something about the authority of that child. The title Lord denoted authority and power. Even today in countries with monarchies in place, it means something to them. It was no accident that the angel used the title Lord. For years, the Israelites had lived under the rule of other countries and other kingdoms and other rulers. There was a time when they were a powerful nation themselves. They were powerful. They were under the many kings of Israel in the lands, expanded. Their lands expanded. Education soared. Great wealth was amassed. Historians tell us that Israel was at its peak of power under King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest of all the kings. And it says that Israel was at the peak of its power under King Solomon. He was only the third king of Israel, and he reigned for 40 years. What the angel was saying was, not only will this child set you free, not only is he your Savior, but he is Lord. He will rule you with authority and power. He will be your king. That's what he was saying when he said, Lord. It was the fulfillment of a promise given in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. In other words, he will. The authority will rest on him. He will be the one to shoulder the responsibility. The authority will rest on his shoulders. The government will rest on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will be the king that will never be deposed. He will be the Lord that will never change. He will be the authority that will rule from now to eternity. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. It was a promise that the times of prosperity and power were returning under the authority of this child king. Are you with me so far? I know I'm going around about a little bit long here, but I want you to stay with me. See, God doesn't want us just to be set free. Now, God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to be free from death. He wants you to be free from all. But he doesn't want you to just be free. Now listen, this is what I really want you to hear. He doesn't want you just to be free today. He wants you to keep us free by becoming the Lord and King of our lives. It's one thing to set somebody free, but it's another thing to keep them free through the authority and the power vested in you. Right? We don't have that authority. He does. He is the one that keeps us free. The word spoke is a promise that once the Savior brings freedom, that same Savior will rule with authority to preserve that freedom as Lord and King. Again, the very authority to free the captive is the same authority that Jesus has to keep us free. Let that sink in for a minute. I'm saying that word a lot, free, 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 free. I want it to sink in. Listen. Making him Lord is something we have to choose, though. And here's where I'm going to stomp on some toes a little bit. Authority means absolutely nothing if people do not submit to it. Parents, you can say you have authority all day long, but if your child will not obey you and not do anything that you tell them to do, you don't have authority over that child. even though you provide a roof over their head, food on their table, clothes on their back. If you, if they, they refuse to do anything, bosses and employees, same situation. If the boss comes in and says, I want this done by such and such a time, and the employee is, there's no authority there. There's no authority. There was a story of a DEA agent. I don't know if I've told this story. If I have, act like I didn't. But there's a story of a DEA agent that went to a farm, and he had a warrant to search the premises for drugs because they were told that there could be possible drugs in the area. So they were searching this farmer's farm, and he came in and he presented it to the farmer. He said, I'm from the DEA. I have a warrant to search the premises, and here it is. And the guy said, okay, well, you can search anywhere you want, but don't go in that field over there. And that that DEA agent looked at him and said, how dare you, sir? I am a federal officer. I can go where I want. I can do what I want. Listen, and he pulled out his badge and he showed it in his face, shoved it in his face, said, this badge is a do whatever I want and get away with it badge. I can go and I can go in that field. I can go wherever I want to go. He said, well, I'm telling you, don't go in that field. I will go where I want to go, sir. I have the authority. This badge gives me the authority to go where I want to go. The farmer said, okay. And he walked away and went back to work. And about 20 minutes later, all of a sudden, he hears a blood-curdling scream from the field that he told him not to go in. And he looks over and he sees that DEA agent running for his life, screaming bloody murder, and his prized bull running behind him, snorting and about ready to gore him. And he's screaming, get him off, get him off, get him off. The farmer sees it and panics and runs over to the fence as fast as he can. And he gets to the fence and he starts yelling out, show him your badge. He had all the authority in the world, but that bull didn't accept that authority. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ has all the authority that he needs. But until we actually obey that authority and submit to that authority, we don't have that power in our lives to stay free. Are you with me? I know that was a goofy story and a weird way of illustrating that, but it made sense, didn't it? Listen, we have to submit to that authority in order for us to remain free under that authority. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, declare him as Lord. You are my king. What that means is laying down your will and taking his. Jesus cannot be your savior if you don't allow him to be your Lord. See, we're quick to claim him as our Savior, but not many of us make him our Lord. Told you I was going to step on your toes a little bit. One day we will accept that authority whether we're free or not. Philippians says, therefore God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And every bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The angel called him Savior. The angel called him Lord. But then the angel also said Messiah. The angel also said Messiah. See, there's a reason I skipped this one earlier. Some of y'all were sitting there going, but he skipped Messiah. Why would he do that? It's because I wanted to go through it last. I believe this is probably the most important title that the angel uttered that night. See, the shepherds heard Savior before. They heard it with David. They heard it with Moses. They heard it with Abraham. They heard it with Esther. They heard it with Samson. They heard it with Ehud. They heard it with all of these different prophets and all of these different people. But they moved on. They had heard that word Savior, but then they had heard people declared king over their lives. They even foreigners that had been declared king and lords over their lives. And they had heard all of that before. But the problem was, or the thing was, when it got to this word, they had heard the title king, but they weren't, it wasn't the one they were waiting for. All of a sudden, they hear this word Messiah, and it captured their attention because the meaning of Messiah. See, growing up, I had always been taught for years the wrong meaning of the word. I'd been taught that it was just another word for Savior, but it's not. Do you understand that? Messiah is not just another word for Savior. It's not something that you just throw in there. Messiah meant more than just Savior or Deliverer. There was more to it. There was a reason why the translators broke this heavenly conversation into the three names given to the baby Jesus. Messiah meant more than just Savior or Deliverer. It was Christos or Messiah, the Anointed One. The Anointed One. Everybody say Messiah. The Anointed One. Three biblical anointings. When you hear the word anointing, there were three anointings that would happen in the biblical times. They would always anoint a prophet. Prophets were anointed into their positions. And oil was poured over their heads. And they were prayed over. Priests were always anointed with oil. And declared sacred. They had to make sure that they were clean and they were proper. So that's the second kind of anointing that would happen. Then there was a third anointing. Kings were anointed into their positions. When the prophet Samuel went to visit David and to anoint him as king, it says that he took the horn of oil and poured it over his head, anointing him as the king, the next king after Saul. So prophets were anointed, priests were anointed, and kings were anointed. Oh, y'all don't even see where I'm going yet. But when that word Messiah said the Anointed One, it was declaring something over Jesus that laid in that manger. It was declaring that he is the prophet that has come to set the captives free. He is the prophet that has come to speak life and hope over people. He is the one that has come to heal and to restore what God wants to do. He is also the priest who sits at the right hand of the Father at this moment, interceding for us. He is our heavenly high priest. He was already anointed at his birth because he was a prophet. He was anointed at his birth because he was a priest, and he was anointed at his birth because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that shall reign forevermore and will never, ever be taken off of that throne. You see, they had heard Savior. They had heard King, but they had never heard Messiah spoken over a child before. They had never heard it spoken over a person before. That meant something to them. Many other people had been anointed through Israel's history, but none of them had ever occupied all three offices of the prophet, the priest, and the king. Abraham, Moses, Aaron, Saul, David. Some even occupied two of those offices, but never three. None of them had ever carried the title Messiah. Through that one word, the angel captured the attention of the men in that field and let them know that this child was different. He would walk under a different anointing. He was more than a prophet who would just speak truth. He was more than a priest that was just worthy to offer a sacrifice for sin. He was more than a king that would rule with authority. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the one spoken of in Isaiah 61:1, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed." Jesus Christ later quoted this verse over in Matthew. He quoted that same verse in the temple and said, "This scripture has now been fulfilled in front of you." Within the manger, we are given a Savior. We are given a Messiah. And we're given a King. That is the message of the manger. Stand with me if you would. Each one of those names has a purpose and a meaning. Savior, He is the one that takes away our guilt. Messiah, He is the one destined and anointed to give us hope and to carry our shame. And the Lord is the one to defeat our enemies and make us safe under His authority.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.